This is the SML Podcast.
Yeah. So, might as well get this underway. I am Joe.
Okay. As you're just going right into it?
Yeah, what the fuck? Okay.
What's up, everybody? I'm Joe.
I'm Chris.
And this is the SML Podcast.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Is that better? Are you fucking happy now?
I am ecstatic.
All right. No Tim.
No Tim.
I'm shocked.
But we added a Chris, another Chris.
Yes, so we're double Chrising it. And not just any Chris, this is the legendary Chris Taylor, who named our podcast the Someone Might Listen Podcast.
I blame you.
So, what's up, asshole?
Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
Oh! I'm so happy. Happy-go-lucky me.
I'm so happy to be on the podcast where people might listen.
They won't.
They know.
See, the problem is, you're on it, so there's no one to listen.
Zach will listen.
Zach might say, who is this Chris guy? And why did he win the contest before I did?
and Randall listened.
Other contest?
Well, the naming thing. Because you did win.
Yeah.
I did. I did get a big box of stuff. It was amazing.
So, tell us about this box of stuff.
I forgot what the fuck we sent. Like,
A lot of it was inexplicable. There was 3D glasses. There was a $100 GameStop gift card, of course, which I used to procure not a video game, but an iPod, which I then modded to play video game music.
So. There you go.
There you go.
And, a huge stack of CDs, some of which I already had, some of which I had never even heard of, some which were very questionable indeed. And
which ones were questionable?
I can't remember the title of it, and I don't have the box right in front of me, but I'll have to just follow up with that or something, because it was, what was it called?
It was probably Blade Mode asshole.
Oh, no. I do have the Blade Mode CD, though.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, yeah, it's nice to finally get your thoughts on all of that 30 episodes after you won.
Wow. That was a long ass time.
Yeah, this right now is episode 50.
Holy shit, we're almost
5-0.
At a year.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we have the silver millennium or gold millennium or not the golden anniversary?
The golden flashlight?
We're going to go to bronze first. We got to work our way up.
The bronze flashlight.
We'll give out fleshies. For the year. And we'll just spray paint a fleshlight with bronze spray paint.
And the episode of the year goes to Lonely Rolling Stars.
Yay!
And the worst episode of the year goes to all the other ones. have to make 49 fleshies.
That's giving me flashbacks to RC Pro-Am.
Flashbacks?
I was just going to say.
Giving you flashbacks.
I'm pretty sure RC Pro-Am gives you like bronze colored fleshlights if you don't win.
Like, yeah, something like that.
Like, what even were those trophies?
They might have been like
just giant middle fingers.
Pistons? I don't know. I don't know what they were supposed to be. I have no clue.
Something car related.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a carburetor.
Yeah, the game was impossible until it became Rock and Roll Racing, and then it was the best game ever.
It really was. I fucking love that iteration, actually. So, speaking of older games,
I was going to say, should we let him, like, fully introduce himself first?
Yeah, fuck yeah,
like,
actually.
Tell us who the fuck you are and what you do.
Well, my name's Chris. I'm the musical chair at a MAGFest. No, just kidding. I played guitar in a chair.
You were not Matt.
I play guitar from the chair. I am the third best lead guitarist in the video game band Gimmick, which is based in Austin, Texas. Apart from which, I used to play bass for the Descendants of Erdrick. I've played bass for Brennelfloss and the Cartridge Family. Also played bass for Careless Juja. But my guitar gig right now is the most present concern. Apart from which, I just kind of fart around on the internet and talk about video games and, you know, especially old ones.
Don't we all?
You're living the dream, essentially.
Basically.
Basically. I'm doing the same. I'm right there with you. Only I'm fun employed, so I have all the time in the world.
So you're not really, but you're not really writing anything.
Yeah, I am.
What are you writing?
I'm writing music.
No, he's like writing stuff online.
Oh, yeah, I don't type.
Yeah.
The only stuff I type are like harassment messages in League of Legends or something like that.
What about a resume? You should probably work on that, right?
Nah. Nah.
YOLO.
Yoloft.
Yoloft. Yo-yo. That's another one that I like.
Yo-yo? What is yo-yo?
You only yo-yo once.
Or you only yolo or yodel once.
You only yodel once. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I like about yo-yo is that if you only yo-yo once and then the acronym is yo-yo, it's like a recursive.
It's like you're yo-yoing acronym. Again. You're yo-ing
it's
again.
It's like this fractal of ideas, basically.
It's basically this fundamental principle of society broken down within four letters.
Didactically speaking, seminal evidence. Okay, the fact that, oh, jeebus. Yeah.
So you mentioned...
Yeah, I can throw down on some Earthbound quotes, that's for sure.
Yes, Earthbound. I love Earthbound.
I need to play it. I'm sorry.
You do, you dick.
I know.
You got a Wii U and $8? Go for it.
No, but I think the next CD that I'm going to put together is literally, I'm just going to title the CD, like, Help Me Buy a Wii U. And I'm just going
to,
I'm going to sell all the, I'm going to sell all the copies that I can, and all of the proceeds are going to go to me buying a Wii U.
Plus it's $10, not $8.
Is it 10?
Yeah. The Earthbound tax.
The Earthbound tax.
Pretty much. Hell, they could have priced that for $20 and I would have bought it.
You'll get there a lot faster than if your fund was, I want to buy a copy of Earthbound.
Yeah. Super Nintendo version of, yeah, it's true. That's very true.
You guys
want
to hear something heartbreaking about that game and me?
Yes.
I bought it in 2001 on an early infant version of eBay for $35 shipped.
Oh,
wow.
That's the copy I still have.
Nice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I never even bothered to emulate it. I didn't even have anything that could emulate Super Nintendo at the time. So it was like, it wasn't even buying it so that I didn't have to emulate it. It was like buying it because that was the only way I could play it.
Oh, okay. No, I was thinking about getting into like emulation and ROMs and stuff like that. But the problem is, it's just like, I don't know. I feel bad about it, but like I just don't have the money for a game. Like some games are just going for way too fucking much, man. Like there's a lot of games that I didn't have an opportunity to play when I was younger, and I would love to be able to get back to them, but I totally can't now. Like games like Earthbound, if I were gonna actually get a copy of that game and play it on a Super Nintendo, I could use that same amount of money and buy myself a cheap car. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much nowadays, sure. Yeah. Unless you go card only.
I was shocked to find out recently that the Philips CDI system is, like, commanding the big bucks now.
Really?
But, yeah.
Yeah, you look on that, especially the ones that include the digital video card where you can play the Hulk Hogan game, Thunder in Paradise.
Wow.
Yep.
What have expected
those,
the CDI?
Zelda games that everybody's been making fun of are, like, about 100 a pop now.
God damn. It's always the weird stuff you don't expect.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, shit, I have a Virtual Boy, and the hard plastic case that it came in itself can buy, like, 3 Virtual Boys.
That's insane. Yeah.
Were you having a hard time, like, trying to find the stand or something for it?
Yeah, the stand in mine is broken, and I keep asking people... They're like, oh, we could get anything at MAGFest. And like, I need a stand for the Virtual Boy. They're like,
except for that.
You can't get that.
You could buy the Virtual Boy.
it was like a wire, a little wired, like almost a camera mount with just a little small plastic piece in the middle. Like that wasn't going to hold up for a week.
No.
Yeah.
I remember the ones that were on display in stores, like broken like 2 hours. Like,
mm-hmm. I just got to like fashion some kind of head strap for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like those old, like I had like an old, like VR version of like a Virtual Boy esque type of thing. But it only went over one eye, like the whole like DBZ scanners. Dude, it was awesome. I used to play Mortal Kombat 3 on it. Nice. Which?
Oh, wait a minute. Was that the tiger?
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Then
X something XI, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But it was like I had Mortal Kombat 3. I forget what else I had on it, but it was so derpy. But I used to play it all the fucking time. And then, after I was done playing, I would look at a wall and I would just see, like, all this, like, burnt red, like, into my eye. Like,
yeah, that, they had a version of Panzer Dragoon for that.
Wow.
For that?
Yes. That was the one they had in the commercials, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about it. Well, it was because, like, the Saturn was current at the time. So, you know, I guess it was. Sega was just like, yeah, sure, let's see what you can do with this.
Yeah. Let's see if you can even get, like, some of the sprite outlines to show on that thing.
I gotta say, that's one of the things I miss about the old days of gaming, is all the stupid things that would come out, all the stupid peripherals, like the Power Glove, which worked like shit, the U-Force, which worked like shit, the Sega Activator, which worked like shit.
But you were like, I need to have this.
They were cool as fuck in the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was magazines. The magazines were like, you remember the guy like playing on the activator with like doing the like perfect roundhouse kick kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It showed Eternal Champions and shows the like guy doing the same kind of kick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all like, I can do that kind of kick in Eternal Champions. And then you
take it home. You put the shitty little octagon on the floor, and then you realize that you can only, like, move your hand in one direction for it to register anything, and nothing you do mattered in that.
By the way, R-Zone. I think it was the Tiger R-Zone.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, fuck this. I'm looking it up.
Thank you.
It sounds familiar.
You like, said Tiger R-Zone?
I think so. Out of all the video game systems they've ever said, like, oh, I played that for 5 minutes and it gave me a headache, like the Virtual Boy or the 3DS, the R-Zone or whatever that is was the only one I did play and actually get a headache.
Dude, that was the only, and I used to play that motherfucker all the time. Like, and I'm pretty sure that's probably why I'm losing, or at least have lost, a decent amount of brain cells in my past.
So you can blame
the
R-Zone.
That's it. That's it. That's the thing.
Yep, Tiger R-Zone.
I still rule at naming things.
Oh my god, that looks so fucking dumb.
Dude, I used to play it all the time. All the time.
That's awesome. I only tried playing it once, but I guess you can attribute it to your spot on this podcast here. Yeah, yeah. Jokes.
I suppose. It depends on how you really want to look at it, but... Oh no! Did we lose him? We did. We lost him. I saw the call go bloop bloop. He's calling back. Why'd you hang up on us?
Oh man! Well, you know the Wi-Fi phone.
He got so excited that
he was like, "Oh my god, our zone!" Click.
Oh, my joke didn't work. I'm gonna hang up until they edit it out.
If that happened, we would have ended the podcast like fucking almost a year ago.
Oh my god. Sega Tiger R-Zone virtual game unit with Mortal Kombat 3. 5 days left. It's sitting at 99 cents with no bids.
We should fucking buy it.
Oh, my God.
Tiger R-Zone system with Star Wars game cartridge. Buy it now, $24.99.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, my fucking
God. That is not going to happen.
I think I need this to happen for me.
You need the R-Zone in Mortal Kombat 3 just to play it so you can turn to me and be like, what the fuck was wrong with you as a child?
And then you'll be like, I'm over here.
Yeah.
No, keep trying. No, over here. No, no. Just turn. I'll tell you when to stop.
Yeah.
Have they got that copy of Panzer Dragoon on it?
I have no idea. Let me...
I swear that was on.
I don't know, but there were not that many games for it. Like,
oh no,
R-Zone and very rare game Panzer Dragoon. Buy it now, $45, free shipping.
Oh, man, that's you need my, Porta.
You need the Mortal Kombat
Battle
one.
Arena Toshinden, Batman Forever.
You need the Mortal Kombat one.
Oh my god.
Do you remember the Game Boy version of Ballerina Toshinden and how, like, if you popped it in your Super Game Boy, it would, like, put these little chibi, like, anime characters on the sides of the screen and stuff? I thought that was so cool.
I miss my fucking Super Boy.
I got one.
I really need to, well, you'll get a kick out of this. So, remember how I was saying I was thinking about going into emulation and playing some games like that? Well, I had a little, I think I had like $9 left on my Amazon account. And I'm like, oh, you know what I should totally do? If I'm going to do this, like, I want to get like a USB Super Nintendo controller. And I'll use that to play these games. So I go on Amazon and I forget what company I was looking into. But like I ended up ordering one, and when I got it in the mail, apparently I ordered the wrong thing, and I just ordered a regular like Super Nintendo controller. So now I've got this like Super Nintendo controller like laying around in my room that I can do absolutely nothing with. So
I don't know how it happened, but over the years I've amassed something like 6 or 7 Super Nintendo controllers, like maybe 2 of which are actually mine.
Wow. Well, I guess, hey, yeah. If one of them ever shits the bed, then you got Black Ops.
Yeah, there you go.
They never will.
No,
I still have my original Super Nintendo, and it has never had a problem. It's the same one I got for my 10th birthday.
Wow, that's impressive, actually.
No, it's not. Those things are bricks, man. That thing will last well beyond, like, when I die.
Well, yeah, but it's just the fact that you still have it in your possession. Like, I had a Super Nintendo, and I have no idea what the fuck happened to that thing. I don't even know what happened to my 64. Actually, I think my brother has my 64.
Yeah, I think that's the case with me. I know I repurchased the 64 at one point, but I still have my original memory card, I believe.
The original 64 that we got when the 64 came out, I'm pretty sure like he took, which I'm very upset about, actually.
Since we're all similar age, I just got to put it out there. That was a magical Christmas, wasn't it?
Oh my God, it really was.
Like
my
64.
My father's a prison guard, and for the best, you know, visual representation, just think Stone Cold with a flat top, and much shorter. So he was a prison guard, and the morning that we got the Nintendo 64, like he had to work on Christmas Day. So, like, he woke us up stupid fucking early, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Even though we were excited for Christmas, like, we were fucking knocked out. Like, there was no way we were waking up that early. And he comes up and he's like, hey, I gotta go to work. Like, you guys should open your presents before I leave. So we're like downstairs, like, fucking, like, in a total fucking zombified state, just fucking like clawing at these fucking presents, like, nah, let's just get them open and we'll go back to bed. And then we realized that the one box was a 64, and then boom, we were fucking awake for the rest of the day.
And that is how you became known as the Nintendo 64 kid.
No, that was not me.
Nintendo 64!
No, you missed it. You have to do the metal version.
I will
version.
Say there is probably a similar video of the Nintendo 64 kid whenever I got an actual NES, like, because I was 7 at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I must have done some backflips or something. I haven't seen that video in over 20 years, but, you know.
Nintendo 64!
I can't stop looking at shit about the R-Zone.
Are you finding more of them?
I found a list of all the games that came out for it.
It's got to only be like 20.
Some of them don't have release dates, so I don't know if they weren't released.
Oh, man.
But I'll just read them all off. Apollo 13, Area 51.
Oh, my God, Area 51?
Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, Battle Arena Toshinden, Daytona USA.
Yeah, I had that one.
Independence Day, Indy 500, Judge Dredd,
fucking Dread? That, how did I not have a Dread game?
That has a question mark, so it might not have come
out. Oh, okay.
Jurassic Park, The Lost World, yep. Men in Black, Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, NASCAR Racing, Knights, which has a question mark, so okay. Who knows? Panzer Dragoon, Primal Rage, Road Rash.
I had Primal Rage as well.
Road Rash and Road Rash 3. No Road Rash 2.
No.
Star Trek, Star Wars Imperial Assault, Star Wars Jedi Adventure, Star Wars Millennium Falcon Challenge, Star Wars Rebel Forces, Virtua Cop, Virtua Fighter, Virtua Fighter 2, VR Troopers, and Waterworld.
That's it. That's the whole
so
lineup.
Many games.
The whole lineup, which I think is still also, bigger than the Virtual Boy lineup.
It might be, actually.
Certainly, it has to be bigger than the N-Gage lineup.
Oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah, N-Gage.
Did you know, when I first got into the idea of having a cell phone, the N-Gage was still current, and I thought about getting one only because they had released an Elder Scrolls spinoff game for it. And
there
was
a Tony Hawk one, too, wasn't there? I think that was the only reason why I was thinking about trying to pick one
time,
up.
Time to look up N-Gage games.
No! God damn it.
Oh, this is the worst podcast. I love it.
Every podcast is the worst podcast.
They really are, except Lonely Rolling Stars.
At least if you're going to go, like, if you're going to go downhill on a podcast, you go, like, downhill full speed.
Oh,
like,
yeah, we don't fuck around.
No,
like,
not at all.
You gotta look up the N-Gage and the R-Zone, and I mentioned the CDI, that, you know, glad that kind of passed over.
I'm kind of glad, too. He's too enthralled by trying to find this really terrible shit.
All right, let's fucking do this. Ashen, Asphalt 4 Elite Racing, Asphalt Urban GT, and Asphalt Urban GT2.
Ass.
The Asphalt.
Bomberman, Call of Duty, Civilization, Colin McRae Rally.
Whoa, hold on there. There were three huge ones right in a row. Like,
these apparently all exist for the N-Gage. Wow. Driver 3.
What?
The Elder Scrolls Travels. FIFA Yay. Football 2005. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Jungle Storm. Glimmerati, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. I need that one. High Seas. Marcel Desailly Pro Soccer, Mile High Pinball, NCAA Football 2004, One Operation Shadow, Pandemonium, Pathway to Glory, Ikusa Islands, Pocket Kingdom, Puyo Puyo, Puzzle Bobble, Rayman 3, Red Faction, Requiem of Hell, Rifts, Promise of Power, Sega Rally Championship, The Sims Busting Out,
What?
Snakes, Sonic Advance, let me scroll back up here, Spider-Man 2, Splinter Cell, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, Super Monkey Ball,
Ooh,
System Rush, Tiger Woods 2004, Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk Pro Skater,
yep.
Virtua Cop and Virtua Tennis,
nice.
Warhammer 40,000 Glory and Death,
What?
Worms World Party, WWE Aftershock, X-Men Legends 2, and Xanadu Next.
I need an N-Gage.
When the fuck did the N-Gage get a game library?
I need an N-Gage. I do.
Hey, Chris is going to do some side talking.
Side talking.
We will both get them and we will side talk like motherfuckers.
Can you even still use a SIM card for those?
I have no idea.
That needs to be the picture for this podcast, is both of you guys with N-Gages side talking to each other.
Like, we need to get two of them. That's the problem. Go ahead, Joe. Try and see if there's a lot on eBay for like 70 N-Gages. Like,
fuck it.
There might be. Some guy was just like, I'm going to buy all these for my company.
They're going to be worth it one day.
They're going to be awesome.
Everybody's going to side talking is the new thing. Obviously,
dude, if I could get it to work, I'd use the fuck out of it. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny right now. Like, I would use the N-Gage
as your phone,
as my phone.
I don't know. I can't let go of my Windows phone.
My birthday's coming up. If someone really wants to fuck with me and get me an N-Gage, I'm cool with it. Like, at least give me some games with it. Like, don't just give me the N-Gage and go, here, motherfucker, use this as a phone. Like.
N-Gage lot. Let's search.
matcha phone taco.
I do not, honestly, like, what, I'm trying to think of what carriers that was even on. Was, like, T-Mobile and that it? Like
T-Mobile and I think AT&T had it at one point. It was a SIM card device. So
dude, I have AT&T. Let's fucking make this happen.
Does AT&T even still use SIM cards? I don't even know.
I have a SIM card in mine.
Right on, right on.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like you're set.
I'm ready. I'm fucking N-Gage compatible.
Get this man 70 phone tacos. He'll be on his way.
Oh, man. So while he looks that up, Chris, you were at MAGFest, right?
I was, Chris.
Okay. So, because you're so much of an enthusiast for older games, what did you think about the arcade?
The arcade was amazing. What's Joe laughing at?
Lot of 100 batteries for Nokia engine.
Just the battery.
There's game lots, but I don't see any lots of multiple systems.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You could buy 100 fucking batteries.
Dude, I could. How much is a lot?
$100 for 100
batteries. $1 a battery. Oh, I can keep 100 batteries charged.
Oh, my Lord.
I can hold like 10 batteries on me at a given time. I'm like, oh, my battery's dead. Give me a second. There we go.
This is so fucking
I could open my glove compartment and 50 of them could fucking pour out and be like, hold on, let me grab a battery for my phone.
Just in the middle of the conversation.
I'll call you back. I gotta switch my battery.
Hold on, I gotta switch my batteries out. Oh, this one's dead. Fuck, I need to segregate the piles better.
Oh my god. Factory unlocked Nokia N-Gage QD plus 48 sealed games.
Sealed? Sealed.
1,700 he wants.
Oh my, he's on crack.
Fucking way.
He's on crack.
Oh my Lord.
I wonder how many Earthbounds I can sell to get $1,700.
Three.
Two.
So a trade-off would be three Earthbounds for this lot of garbage.
So an N-Gage with all of the games sealed. That's the important part to take into consideration. They're sealed.
Now, I won't say it's a lot of garbage. I would say it's a lot of hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still sealed garbage, you know?
Nokia N-Gage lanyard.
Yay, 2 cents.
Fuck yeah.
No, so yeah,
like
so
$17.
That's bullshit. So the arcade at MAGFest, what were some of your personal favorites that were there? Did you have a chance to actually,
conversation,
like,
I forgot about this.
Did you have a chance to actually, like, go through and see everything that they had to offer there, really?
I did last year, actually. I spent a lot more time on it, played around with, I remember doing, it was like really late at night, like 2 a.m. to about 5 a.m. And I remember playing Taiko Drum Master with Stemage.
That's dude, that game is so much fun. Like, I played it for the first time this year when I was at MAGFest.
I seem to remember him being pretty good at it, too, but that's Stemage. He's good at everything.
That's even something you could brag about. Like, what'd you do at MAGFest? Oh, I played Taiko Drum Master with Stemage.
Wow. Seems like you had a good weekend.
Almost everything, whenever I go to MAGFest, almost everything that I do, like, if I just plainly tell people what it was, like, they make it sounds like a brag. Like, it's just literally the facts of what I did at MAGFest, and people are like, oh, well, la-di-da.
Yeah.
Like, I loaned Tim Yarbrough of the 1UPS my acoustic guitar. This is last year, not this year, so that he could play the Altered Beast set with William. And so part of that was hanging out in the hotel room while they practiced their whole set. And so, like, I got to, like, sit there and listen to two master guitarists, like, you know, jam out their set on a guitar I own, or one of them was on. And so it was just, like, it's things like that.
I want to play next year. That's like the only thing that I want to focus on right now is just,
well, let me give you some encouragement, Chris, because I too want to play MAGFest.
Let's play.
yeah, we can. I played with the Descendants of Erdrick. Actually, we were on main stage, at MAG 10 on Thursday. We were second up, and that was some good company. We had Random Encounter and Temp Sound Solutions also that night. And, then we closed out the second stage at MAG 11. That was our final show together. And then the next year, Gimmick got the no from those guys, which is understandable. We had barely done anything. But by the time we got up there, I was like, well, we're going to play one way or another. So we got our secret show going in the jam space, and we actually did pretty well with that.
I did a little thing in jam space this year. Like I played along to some of the songs that I did for the Blade Mode CD. But the problem is, like, nobody knows who I am. So nobody cared. So there was only really about like 20 people, maybe 25. Like, there was still a half decent turnout for it being like really last minute.
Yeah.
Like, I went down to jam space at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just like, hey, can I do a thing like early afternoon tomorrow? Well, I mean, today.
That was Dan, the guy who runs Jam Space, is such a cool guy about, you know, letting you set aside some time and such, because, you know, he's running that whole thing like pretty much day and night. And
yeah,
he was super cool about, like, you know, we exchanged numbers and we kept in contact, and as soon as I locked down a time, I texted him with it and then ran up and talked to him, and you know, he had it all set up for me. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I think if anything, if I actually like perform next year, like, I definitely want to bring some equipment with me, because literally the only thing I brought was my bass drum pedal, and like, I don't know, the kit that was there, at least in jam space. The shed space stuff was really, really cool, but the jam space one was like in shambles almost. So.
Which is funny, because as far as gimmick goes, like, that's kind of what we're used to. Like, Justin's got a very minimal set.
Yeah.
So I feel like the set they had there was, like, you know, he had no complaints about it. So, and the amps were actually a lot nicer than the ones we usually use. So we actually wound up sounding better in the jam space than we do at some of our other shows.
See, the thing that actually really, like, blows my mind is, like, I would love to just play a show of video game music, but like, nobody around here would care. Like,
not really.
No, nobody in our area would actually go to it. Like, which is really a shame, because I honestly think it'd be fun as shit, but whatever.
That's why you'd have to get involved with either some kind of smaller like game show or something like Game Over Baltimore or BitGen.
Yeah. That's what I would like to do. I just have to meet the right people, essentially. Like, I've been putting my stuff out there and just, like, messaging pretty much everybody that I talk to at MAGFest and just going, like, hey, man, if you ever need someone to, like, you know, do some shit, like, fucking let me know, because I definitely want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
And I figure, like, that alone will kind of help me out. And I'm trying to work on some more music and do that stuff as well. But I think, honestly, just, like, talking to more people and just kind of getting myself out there a little bit is going to help that a little bit more. Because other than that, the only thing I could really do right now is play in stupid bar cover bands and play things like Chumbawamba. Like,
oh, boy.
I get knocked down. What I got up again.
That was my favorite part of the 90s, was listening to those songs over and over again.
Yeah, and the best part is 20 years later, when you have to perform them, it's fucking awesome.
Now they're classic.
Mm-hmm.
How old are we?
Now they're classic rock. Chumbawamba is classic rock.
Freaking, never mind, I forgot. Semisonics are like the classic band now, if you think about it.
Closing, you know, things like that. Time.
Uh-huh. Mm. Fuel.
Anyway, enough about us being old. Let's talk.
We're all dying.
I
guess part of the thing as far as being like successful in covering video game music, I mean, you know, when we when I helped start DV, like, we were the only band that had even considered doing something like that, as far as we know, in Texas at the time, but definitely in Austin. And I mean, it was just a good area for it, though, because there's so many game developers and people who work for the industry out there, as well as a whole bunch of musicians, and the whole town just kind of has this whole, if it's weird, it's good kind of vibe. So,
I wish we had that vibe.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So maybe there is a little, I know Baltimore is a lot like that, maybe even more so, because I really like the art and theater scene of Baltimore. So perhaps it is location, but all I can really say is that we never really found a lot of success going through the usual musical channels, mostly it was setting up our own shows and finding the nerds and getting them to come out.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at with it too. But the problem is, like, all the nerds that like are up in this area, like the hardcore nerds that are up here that would actually support something like that. Well, I can't even say that they would support it. The majority of people up here that consider themselves like really like nerdy kind of people only play Magic the Gathering and come out for Friday Night Magic. And then they go home and then they like jerk off to Chandra and then like go to sleep. And that, like, that's,
dude, we'll find out where they're playing Magic the Gathering and be like, dude, can I set up over here and play some stuff?
Yeah,
maybe.
See if you can get some of them to look up from their cards for a second.
It could be a thing.
Who's your favorite planeswalker?
Oh my god.
Who's your favorite planeswalker, Joe?
I'll trade you a Boghimp for your CD.
Oh god. Fucking Boghimps.
Have you seen my Boghimp collection?
No.
Oh my
god. You have a Boghimp collection?
Yes. In high school, this was a joke. Like, everyone's like, what's one of the most useless cards you could think of? I'm like, Boghimp, it's so dumb. So I collected everybody's Boghimps. I think I have like 48 of them.
Jesus Christ. Like, wow. I mean, I was trying to find, like, when I went down to Philly to do, like, I did an actual like Magic tournament, one of the Grand Prix. I went down there and like there were so many vendors and they were selling stuff so cheap. And I was using this really shitty card for my standard deck, like really shitty. And it's been reprinted like a bajillion times. So I go down there and I'm like, do you guys have like, sorry, oh, god damn it. Do you guys have any, chat? Do you guys have any like alternate art or like Japanese or foil? And they're like, yeah, why? And I'm like, 'cause I want them. And I ended up filling up like 4 or 5 pages in my binder with really weird, shitty versions of this card. Well, not shitty versions of this card, nice versions of this card, but nobody would ever want this card. Like, it's literally just for me. Like,
what was it?
I think it was like a, what the fuck was it? It was like a 1/1 for 2 that was that, like.
So it was a Boghimp.
Essentially, but it didn't have flying. I think it might have made them lose a life and then I gain a life or something like that.
Nice.
Like, but it was just like, it was such a shitty card. Like, it was a common and it was reprinted like so many times. And I found a version that was printed in like fucking like series 3 or series 4 or something stupid like that. And it was the guy was selling it for like $5 and I bought it. Like, because I'm just like, oh, this is going to add to my fucking rare collection of this really shitty card. Like,
god. I'll tell you, you don't know embarrassment playing Magic the Gathering until you lose to a Boghimp deck. I mean a deck of 60 cards, 16 lands, and 44 Boghimps.
Yeah, but the problem is that that's not legal.
We didn't care. They're like, you know what? You don't have to be tournament legal. If you really want to play me with a Boghimp deck, fuck it. I'll play it and kick your ass. And I won.
Oh, I didn't get enough lands. I didn't get the right
You lost to a Boghimp.
You lost to a Boghimp.
Fuck you, Joe.
Question.
Sure.
So I did not grow up with any of these kind of games, and I still don't really know how to play them. Is what you're describing to me something akin to beating Final Fantasy with 4 white mages?
I don't know, because that's actually kind of an accomplishment.
Well, a Boggin deck.
Winning, yeah, I guess it could be.
Well, here, you know what? What you can do is you can actually, don't play the newest Magic game, like Magic 2014, because there's microtransactions at the ass.
Yeah, there's older, cheaper ones.
Go to like Duels of the Planeswalkers, like 2013 or something like that. That one's really good. If you want to play Magic like every once in a while, or just like know what it's like, play that. It's actually really, really good.
Right on. I will put it right next to Pokemon Y on my list of things to do that I should have done back in the 90s.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
What's your favorite Pokemon?
I only have one. I just started. I bought Y, and I'm still in the first area pretty much.
I haven't played X in months, actually.
I traded mine in.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not surprised.
Well, it didn't grasp me like I wanted it to.
Oh, dude, it's such a good game. It really is. Like, it's so well done. And I think the thing that, like, threw me off about that was, like, Joe, that was his first Pokemon game. Joe never played a Pokemon game before.
Same here.
And Joe, like, he likes RPGs, so I'm like, Joe, you gotta play Pokemon. It, like, it's such a good RPG. And he didn't dig it. Like, I don't know.
RPG-wise, I don't think it's a very good RPG.
Really?
It's kind of a bizarre game world, I will say.
Yeah, it seems very basic RPG-wise and story-wise, but I understand the draw of collecting all of them, training your monsters,
yeah,
all that other. It's
the thing I'm kind of curious about is, like, has every single person on the planet, like, been obsessed with Pokemon for the whole series, or are you playing, like, this? There's been so many games that now they're all obsessed with them.
Well, I played, let's see here. I played Red when Red came out. And I got into Pokemon a little bit. Like, I did the trading card game for a while when I was younger. I think I may have played, what was it? I think I may have played Emerald, maybe? Yeah. Emerald. I think I played Emerald. And then I skipped all the way to Black. And then I skipped to X. Black, I actually finished. Red, I actually finished. Emerald, I only played like halfway through. X, I want to say I'm at like the 7th gym, maybe? Something like that? I've been neglecting it for 2 months, so I mean, I don't know. I will get back to it, and I will finish it. But it's just, I've got so much shit to play. Like, I don't know.
That's exactly where I am. Like, I'm really enjoying the game. Like, I find myself thinking about it, even though I haven't been playing it long. Like, I think about how much I want to get back into it.
Yeah.
But for God's sake, they released 2 Etrian Odyssey games this last year.
Oh God, yeah.
That was not fair.
I should apologize ahead of time that Ashley bought me dinner before she goes to work, so you might hear a little bag crinkling. I'm sure you already.
Oh yeah, thank you, Joe. That was so loud.
You're loud.
That's fine.
I am, but I have compression on my vocals, so.
Son of a bitch, no ranch.
Well, deal with it.
Those motherfuckers at Sheetz.
Deal with it. So, yeah, so I know we haven't done this in a while, and we're already, like, 40 minutes in.
Weekly want-want?
Yeah, how about a weekly want-want? Do you have a weekly want-want?
Shit.
I think I remember what this segment is.
Basically,
explain
like,
to the viewers.
The failure of the week, essentially, or just something that's disappointing, something along the lines of that.
Oh, the wah-wah.
Exactly. Womp womp. The patch?
Oh, God. The Dead Rising patch. Yeah, that is kind of a womp womp kind of thing.
That's a womp womp.
You heard about that, right, Chris?
I haven't played Dead Rising, but I do. Explain to the viewers at home.
The viewers?
What's going on? And
the listeners?
Yeah, we'll go with the listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dead Rising 3, Xbox One game. Has DLC coming out. The first one actually came out today, Tuesday, the day we're recording this.
Yep.
And to prepare for it and to fix some, you know, fan feedback
Very
on the game.
Very minor stuff, wasn't it?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
They issued a patch for Dead Rising 3. The size of the patch is 13 gig.
That's amazing.
The game, when I installed it, was 28 gig.
So it's half the size of the game.
Yeah.
So what all, is it just things that they're fixing in the other 15 gigs of the game?
I
Well, because what? You said that you already got the first portion of the DLC, which was really only what? Like,
well, the actual DLC for the first part was only 20 meg. So obviously that gigantic patch includes the data for the DLC.
Like all like of they, it.
Yeah.
Capcom could put whatever, you know, Capcom can make their patches as large as they want. It can be 27 gigs as long as there's a Mega Man Legends 3 in there somewhere.
There probably is.
I wish.
Maybe it's somewhere in the on-disc DLC of fucking Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I don't know. Like,
see, I always feel like they would have done that, but Capcom hates its fans worse than anybody, I think.
Yeah, they pretty much
They do. Really fucking do, man. Like, oh yeah, make me buy fucking Street Fighter 4 Ultra because Street Fighter 4 and then Super Street Fighter 4 and then Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition isn't enough.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking bastards.
Let's not forget Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, which I have.
I have that too. So, yeah, you're right. I have my DS version, I have my PC version, I bought it on Xbox. God damn it. Like,
and you still want to go out and play it in the arcades.
If there was an arcade that actually had a Street Fighter machine around here, I would probably be there 3 or 4 times a week.
I think you probably could have just stopped with, if there was an arcade around here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we don't even have, like, the pseudo arcades. Like, we don't even have a Dave and Buster's. Like, we don't even have, actually, we have a Chuck E. Cheese. That's all the way in Wilkes-Barre. And there's, like, there's the Mario Kart game in there, and that's it, really.
I want to play the Mario Kart game.
It is. That's, like, the only reason to go there, is the Mario Kart game.
That Mario Kart game.
So, have you, I don't know if this has been brought up. I might have heard this on this actual podcast, but I can't, you know, bear with me.
Nope.
Did you hear about them hiding the entire F-Zero arcade game in F-Zero GX?
I did hear about that, yes.
I did not.
Yeah, F-Zero, the arcade game, all the content from that was on the GameCube F-Zero game.
Like, apparently that's how they got them to, like, work together or something.
Yeah, because you could take your GameCube memory card to the arcade and use your data on there.
Right.
And carry it between the versions.
So it had both games on there.
Yeah,
so,
modders have found a way to access that stuff. It's not accessible any other way.
Okay.
Except
modding it.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wish they would have made a fucking home version of Top Skater.
They did. It's Tony Hawk Ride.
No, it is not. It's not Tony Hawk Ride. It's not Tony Hawk Shred. It's just fucking not. Like, maybe when I have, like, if I ever actually, like, come into some money and I have my own place, like, I will buy a fucking arcade machine of Top Skater. That's going to be something that I have to do for my pseudo man cave thing.
That can be the title of your third album.
Buy me Top Skater.
No. See, what I want to do, and I already talked to, well, he already semi-shot it down, but it is within guidelines that I can actually apply for it. So MAGFest next year, I want to put together a band called Tony Rock and the Top Skating Taxis. And do nothing but punk music from Tony Hawk, Top Skater, and Crazy Taxi.
Well, you know, I'm a big Offspring fan, so I guess this...
it's all I want!
Yeah.
You know, actually, I take it back.
I don't want to have to play that song. Because that's what it would be. It would be that song into Nothing Changes Because It's All the Same.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Next Level video game cover band.
Not Next Level. It's like... It's preschool level. Learn other band's songs.
You're a cover band. MAGFest cover band.
MAGFest cover band, but it's nothing but fucking songs from those soundtracks.
Oh, God. I always thought of, like, different ways to bring the circle of video game covering around. Like, what if a video game cover band had a song on Rock Band?
That would be interesting.
Well, through modding and homebrew, they technically do.
Well, yeah, but like actually, oh, I know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, unofficially they do. But I mean, think about it, man. You're playing a video game, playing a cover of a real song that is a cover of a video game song.
In a video game. it's like it just fucking it's a circle of life that just keeps going and going and going.
I just enjoy the fact that I could boot up my Rock Band and play Joe Cam Stole My Bike.
See, I thought it was interesting when I was able to play the Ethereal Collapse stuff, but I actually like, I don't know. After I played it like twice, I was like, eh. I'm like, damn, this band sucks. Like, I don't know why I bought these songs.
Drummer's gay.
The drummer's an asshole.
Oh, man.
So that happened. So I guess that's our weekly wah-wah.
Are we going back to Dead Rising to wrap up that conversation?
Hey, I'm here to wrap up conversations and move on to the next point.
I was trying to look online to see what the actual Dead Rising install size was, because part of me wants to say it was only 26 gig.
Even still, it's somewhere around half. Like, that's a lot.
Now my file is 28.5. Because I saw someone online say something that the patch that came out, only 2 gig of it was actual new data.
Oh.
So I'm wondering, I'm wondering if the majority of that patch was just changing files in the game and it just copied it over.
Oh.
So it's not an extra 13 gig of data. It's just
like
copying
a duplicate.
Over, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I didn't think about,
like,
about it that
I
way.
Don't know. Like, I miss the days where Xbox, you would start a game and it's like, oh, we have a 4 meg update.
Yeah, right.
And now it's like, oh, it's a 13 gig update. Play it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts, man. That's so much data. Like, that's, ugh.
Yeah, and Service Electric has bandwidth limits.
Exactly. Yep. During peak hours, which whatever reason, the peak hours go all the way until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Well, you know, if you live in an area where the internet is not up to the standards of the video game system, that's your fault.
According to the devs.
Yeah.
Well, fucking what's his name? Fucking Sergeant Stupid or fucking what the fuck is his name?
Sergeant Stupid.
Of
That's good enough.
I, you know what I'm talking about? The guy from Xbox. What the fuck
was
is
it? Don Matrick?
No, the fucking what the hell's his name?
Major Nelson.
Yes, Major Nelson.
Oh,
it's a Sergeant Stupid. Whatever, like you.
Corporal Fuckhead.
Corporal Cunt. That guy.
Damn.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I like about like, the only real current-gen system I have is a 3DS XL. And what I like about it is it's, like, sometimes it's, like, you need to update. And then, like, biggity-boom, and then it's updated. And it's, like, now you have 30 more levels in Mutant Muds that you cannot beat because it's impossible.
I need more games for my 3DS. I really do.
Did you grab the Bravely Default demo?
No, I want to play it.
Oh my god, it's so fucking fun!
I know. I wanna wait until like Jordan has some time because she's huge into RPGs. Like that's like her favorite type of game, and I want her to play it and I want to get her reaction of it because she's not like a hardcore gamer, but the only stuff that she plays is RPGs. Like she was playing Dragon Quest for like a solid couple months, and that was the only thing that she was playing.
Nice.
And then she was playing, like, I got her Pokemon, and she was playing that for a while. Fuck, I forgot.
Etrian Odyssey?
I don't
think. That might be a bit brutal for her.
Yeah, that might be a bit much for her. Like, she's not.
Well,
like.
Hear me out.
I'm ready.
Etrian Odyssey 4 right now is half price, so it's only $20 to download. And I think it's the best one, but a lot of people go with Millennium Girl right now. Anyway, there's a free demo. You can download it and play for the first 10 levels. Whatever you play on the demo can be transferred over to the full game if you decide to purchase it.
Yeah.
And it has casual mode for people who are just getting into it, so it's not like wizardry style, like completely impossible hard.
Oh, okay.
The casual mode is a lot more forgiving than the normal Etrian Odyssey game.
Okay. Yeah.
And Millennium Girl has actually three different difficulty modes. So you can there's a go between, like a between casual mode and extreme mode is just like normal mode where they're a lot more forgiving. And plus, Millennium Girl has an actual story now, like that you can play optionally because you know they don't force you to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look into that because I've been wanting to find some stuff for her to play. Because I mean, like, she still has to finish Pokemon, but I think she might have finally gotten past where I was because I was playing it for a while and she was too busy. So
I will say, like, aesthetically, it's an amazing game because Yuzo Koshiro did the soundtracks, and I feel like that series is like his best work to date.
It really is.
And yeah, I've been following that guy since you know the 90s. So,
Streets
I mean,
of Rage.
Just go on YouTube and listen to some Etrian Odyssey music. It's just amazing stuff.
I'm down. I'll have to look into it because I definitely want to. I want to get her something.
But Internet Chris, did you play Bravely Default demo yet? I like that's how
I
differentiate
it.
Between
I haven't
the two.
Played it. I actually was planning on doing that tonight.
Do it because you can actually unlock bonuses in the full game through the demo.
That's so They That's have, so cool, because I know I'm going to buy it. Like, I've got to buy it, just based on what it is.
Yeah. The way it works is there's a village in the demo that you can restore using street passes, pretty much. You get villagers through street passes, and you restore the town using the villagers. It's like, if you use one person, something could take 2 hours. If you use two people, it takes an hour. And it just
so
builds like that.
Like, so it's like Social Blazer.
Kind of.
It's like Soul Blazer, only social.
But you get the people through Street Pass, and up to 20 of those villagers will carry over to the full game when it comes out, so you can get a head start. Through the story, depending on the bosses you beat and the quest you complete, you'll gain item packs like a sword and a shield, some potions, to carry over into the main game as well. And then all the content in the demo is not in the full game. It's its own separate mini storyline. There's not much of a story, but just its own
right.
set of missions.
That's kind of why I wanted to look into it, because then if for some reason I did pick it up, or if Jordan picked it up, like, it wouldn't be like I hate demos that essentially are just like, if you get involved in it and you invest a decent amount of time into it and then you have to like do it all over again.
Yeah.
It really takes away from like that first portion of the experience of the actual game when you buy it.
Yeah, that's why I really like this demo, is because it's all unique stuff. You're not going to be replaying anything, and you'll actually get bonuses in the full game.
Yeah. Well, now let me ask your opinion on this, since you know we're on the topic of demos. What early access games? There's a couple right now. I actually have. Two of them. I ended up paying for Rust, which is kind of like it's kind of like a Minecrafty kind of thing, but it looks like it was kind of built with almost a like Far Cry 3 engine.
Huh.
Like it's really like it's interesting. It's really really neat. But that and then like it's I forget the name of the other one. It's a racing game. It's like Next Car Game or something like that. You can download the tech demo. Now, the tech demo is essentially like this sandboxy thing. There's soft body physics to the cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the main things that they're like pushing with this game. So like the damage that you get from your cars looks fucking awesome. And it really takes a lot of damage. Like, it's not just like generically like hitting your car in a couple places to make it look damaged. But this tech demo thing, you could download the tech demo. Excuse me. You could download the tech demo for free. It's a like smaller version of it. But if you buy the game, like pre-order it, they give you a larger version of the tech demo and an alpha version of the game. So every single time that they're like making updates to the game, it gives you access to the alpha and the beta and all that kind of stuff. So you're essentially seeing the game progress, but you still have something that you can tangibly play right away. And I think this is kind of like a really interesting thing. I kind of hope they do it. I don't know if they'd be able to bring it over to consoles It seems like it's a big PC thing right now. But I think it'd be really interesting for certain games and certain titles. I think it would really translate relatively well. Like, what do you guys think about early access type stuff? Like getting into alphas and betas and stuff like that by purchasing the game early.
Chris, I'll let you think for, like, do you have anything to say on it?
I'll let you go first.
All right. My thoughts is if you're going to do that, you need to know what you're getting into.
Okay.
Like when I was doing the beta for Final Fantasy 14.
Okay.
You'd get online and something would be wrong and everybody's bitching about it. It's like, oh, the fucking servers are down. I'm getting an error. Like, it's not. Why isn't this shit working? Because it's a fucking beta.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work flawlessly. I think a lot of people get into betas and just think, oh, well, it's an early access demo and I get to play it early and blah, blah. No, you're helping. Like, if you run into errors, you run into problems, you have to tell them. You have to fill out bug reports.
Right.
I've been lucky that I've never really run into anything big. And if I have, I would fill out a bug report or give feedback. I know Guild Wars 2, in their beta, after you would complete a quest, they would ask your thoughts on the quest.
Right.
You would rate it and then type up a description if you want, mm-hmm. say what you liked, what you didn't like. Theirs was actually really good because they had a bunch of different categories that you would rate 1 to 5, like how was the story, how were the characters. I really liked their beta because they asked you a lot of questions. They got you involved.
Yeah.
Whether or not you ran into problems. If your gameplay was flawless, they still got your opinion on what did you think of that quest.
Yeah. Is there any way that we can make it better?
Memorable.
Like, yeah.
Stuff like that. I think people who get into alphas, I think most of the people know that they're in for a rough ride.
Yeah. Like, well, what actually surprised me, especially with Rust, like right now it's in alpha. I don't know how many different versions they've put out up until now, but even like I've gotten a group of people together playing on the same server, it feels pretty much like a full-fledged game.
Yeah. And
I mean, like there's still a lot of room for improvement and stuff like that. But at the same time, like I don't like, I already feel like paying what I did for the game. I feel like I already have that.
You're getting your money's worth.
Yeah. Like I'm getting my money's worth from the alpha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's actually, like, really kind of impressive.
Just because it's an alpha doesn't mean that it's a completely unfinished game. It's just not ready for a full-on beta test.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're giving you something that they only worked on for 3 weeks. They have one stage done and half the graphics are ready.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting it to a near-complete state that they want you to, before they open the floodgates and get a whole bunch of people in, they want a handful of people to test it out first.
Right.
And that's where the alpha comes. And then the beta, they want a larger group of people, you know, start really hammering the server, see how things will
hold
up.
Giving it a really big stress test.
Ashley's ringtone gets picked up on the mic.
It was cool.
Hi, honey. Hi. How about you say hi, since we know you're in the room now? Talking.
So an alpha is essentially like Mega Man Soccer.
An alpha is essentially...
Don't make me play the video I took of you earlier today.
An alpha essentially like, you know, when you have... like the way that I treat alphas are like tech demos. Like tech demos that have a little bit more meat to them. Betas are essentially like almost a full game, but like they're not ready for a full blown release.
Do you want to hear something really funny, not related to video games?
What?
Yes.
I don't hear anything. I still don't. I don't. Jesus Christ.
I'm so tired.
Wow.
And that's why I slept on the couch today. I couldn't fall asleep. She was snoring like crazy. She doesn't want to talk when she's in the room. Oh, I'm not here. Fine, I'll embarrass you and we'll hear you laugh. You were snoring like a fucking Mack truck.
Like, do Mack trucks snore? I didn't know.
Oh
that
my
was
God.
A thing.
They do.
I'm sick. sick. I took an Ambien. Yeah, I slept on the couch so I could sleep.
Ugh. But yeah, so Chris, so alphas, I mean, obviously, like, do you, have you ever messed around with, like, PCs at all, or no? Or are you strictly, like, an old school, like, traditional kind of guy?
Well, I'll put it this way. The last PC game I put any real decent amount of time into was The Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall.
Okay.
Fucking old school.
But yeah. I do totally, I do get what you're saying, though. I have a lot of friends that are into PC gaming, and actually I have some friends that are devs, so, you know.
Well, I mean, like,
oh, look at you, mister. I have dev friends, but do you know a rival?
Jeez. Let's not start that conversation.
The reason I said Mega Man Soccer is because that game got released and it was not finished. All but the last level were finished, and they've not recently, but a couple of years ago, found like all this extra content that was meant to be the end of the game. It's like it doesn't even have ending credits. Those are in
wow,
the cartridge,
wow.
But it's not finished. So whenever I
didn't know that.
Like it's so like, close to being finished, but not.
Like the Super Nintendo Mega Man Soccer?
Yeah, yeah. Google it. It's actually, there's an in-depth article on it on the Cutting Room Floor. Which is
well,
a,
you have
a,
the
a
information.
Website.
Just tell us. School us.
What?
School us. Oh, you know it.
That's what it was. It's like it was some Dr. Wily stage or something. I think that was a... I haven't played much of the game myself, so...
I didn't even know it existed until you just said it.
Oh, yeah. It was it came out alongside Mega Man 7.
Yeah.
Alongside. Soundtrack. Interesting. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, here's Mega Man 7. Oh, by the way, here's a soccer game with him, too.
Yeah, it was...
It's actually pretty fun.
Is it fun like that fucking... the Hello Kitty volleyball game that I was playing on your Wii or something like that.
Oh man, that sounds amazing.
Four characters. I don't even know what the fuck it was called, dude. Like, I don't even.
It was Sanrio something.
I don't even know. I have no idea.
Oh, you know what else you played? Tecmo.
Tecmo
Bowl.
Don't fucking remind me about Tecmo Bowl.
Like, oh man, that was, I have heard about that.
Oh, you've heard about the Tecmo Bowl incident with Ian?
Yep. The 50-yard field goal
on the 50.
Yeah, it wasn't a 50-yard field goal.
It was on the 50.
It was a field goal from the 50-yard line. Like a 50-yard field goal is doable. A field goal from the 50-yard line?
That
would be near impossible.
It was
like
bullshit.
That's only something you could do in a video. Oh, it was done in a video.
Shut up, Joe! Shut up!
One of the things I got to see at MAGFest was in actually Steve-O's room. So you know Steve-O.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was playing 4-player NBA Jam Tournament Edition with all Bill Clintons. And one of them did a full court, that is to say, from one goal to the other, like overhead slam dunk, that was so ludicrously like displayed. Like just the way it looked was so amazing that just everybody was laughing for several minutes. It was just this amazing play.
How the fuck do you do a full court slam dunk?
You have to be on fire.
Something like that, but it was just insane.
I've done them.
You can literally like. The ball gets checked in, and you could turn around and do a full court dunk.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love them old sports games for that.
And actually, at MAGFest, there was a 4-player arcade cabinet of NBA Jam that I played.
I
it was me, Jesus, versus Pappy, and...
John?
No, it was some chick, I forget, but...
Cat?
I don't know. I don't remember her name, but
helpful.
I know, but me and Jesus won, obviously, because me and NBA Jam. That's my jam. So,
and then Ian, who can kick a field goal from the 50-yard line.
Yeah, and it was the same day too. It was like the fucking bastard, man. Like, ugh, that was bullshit. That was absolute bullshit.
I got a random text from Pappy the other day that just said, from the 50?
I'm so glad that he was able to hear that down the hall.
Yeah.
Like, I was so pissed.
That's how loud you
were. That's how loud I was.
Are you
when I was like,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was the fucking 50?
I was furious.
Oh my God, so funny.
That's obviously, like, when any time that I'm, like, playing some sort of sports game or some sort of fighting game or some sort of competitive thing that you have to kill your opponent, my go-to thing is, get him. Fucking get him. Get him. Get him. So, like, I'm pretty sure he was able to hear me do that from down the hall as well. Like, get him. Get him. Get him. Get him. Like...
Oh man, that sounds like a wonderful thing to hear in the empty, vacuous like hallways of the MAGFest.
Well, yeah, because it was Sunday night.
Yeah, when like no one else,
nobody else was there.
You're just walking down here. Get him!
Get him! Get him!
Someone like hitting the button on the elevator, and they just hear an echo down the hallway of from the 50.
They probably heard that in a little village, you know, after they traveled out.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I was furious. I was livid, man.
That's bullshit. Yep.
I was very, very mad. So there was another topic that you wanted to touch upon, right, Joe?
I don't think we have enough time for it, but let's go to the old standby. What have you been playing lately?
Rust.
Well, we kind of covered that you're playing Rust in the car game. Chris, other Chris, Internet Chris, what have you been playing lately? Tell us your video game escapades.
Oh, there are so many escapades. I have a backloggery account, so I'm always like looking on it, looking at games I haven't beaten, and being like, I should maybe play that sometime. But here lately, I secured a copy... for the first time, actually, of Final Fantasy VI Advance, the Game Boy Advance remake.
Nice.
So I've been playing through it and kind of documenting some of my favorite little changes that they made or didn't make or whatever. And just getting through a old Saban scenario right now, getting everybody together for that old fight against Kefka to win the day, possibly.
Possibly. or lose it.
Do what?
Or lose it completely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've beaten the game like 50 plus times at least, so, you know, I'm totally... I know what happens in the video game.
Oh,
but I am looking
alert.
Forward to, like, all the bonus stuff and everything. And it is funny, like, I didn't realize that I started playing it right around the time they came out with this god-awful mobile version.
Oh, Lord.
So everybody thinks I'm, like, playing through it to, like, kind of to protest the mobile version that came out.
When you're just like, nah, man, it just took me a while.
Yeah, I'm just like, I had to wait for it to be cheap.
I like the people who never saw the original version of Final Fantasy VI, and they see the mobile version, and they're like, oh, it doesn't look that bad. Yeah, it does. Look at all the fucking bullshit pastel. Like, those look like DeviantArt drawing sprites. That is fucking ugly.
DeviantArt.
I would rather have the original 16-bit sprites.
And, I mean, that's the real shame about it, is that you can buy a Wii, and or if you have a Wii, you can play the original game in all its glory for half the price of the mobile download.
Yeah.
You just download it for $8, and you've got it. You've got Final Fantasy, quote-unquote, 3.
Man, I want a Wii U. God damn it.
Me too.
Just put your CD together. Chop, chop.
I know.
Get it ready for Game Over Baltimore. Maybe Steve-O will let you sell it at the OCU table.
Oh, my God. I would not be able to get it done by then. That's like a month away.
Uh-huh. How quick did you get the MAGFest CD?
I had to write all the material and perform it and record it.
You still did it in about a month.
No. No way.
Yeah, you...
Oh, we lost them again. God damn it. But there's no way. There's no way. I did not do that in a month. There's no way I did that in a month.
Stop hanging up on us, Chris.
I don't even know if I can't even hear him.
Chris.
We'll pretend like he's there until he says something. Oh, now he's offline. See, this is what these are the technical these are the technical difficulties that you go through by having your interview ease calling from online. Damn it. What was the point I was making? I don't even remember.
Fuck. The CD you didn't do in a month. I thought you did it in about a month.
No way. I had a lot of the tracks done. Like, it took me multiple months. It took me a long time.
I'm going to have to
look
at the date that we put that list of songs together, because I could have sworn you, like, cranked through that shit really fast.
No way. That took a long time.
I always do it for BitGen, maybe.
BitGen. I don't even know what BitGen is.
It's pretty much just an all-day video game music concert.
Oh, yeah? When is that?
Summer. I want to say June.
My birthday?
Maybe.
June 12th? We didn't get it. No. That's too bad. That's too bad. Well, Joe, I mean, we're already an hour and 15 in. What do you...
Let's give him a minute, see if he comes back. So he could introduce his own songs, at least.
Yeah, I would fucking hope. Jeez.
Because I didn't write them down, so I would... I figure, hey, we're going to have him on to introduce the shit.
Yeah,
I don't have to remember anything.
Fucking whatever. Essentially. But yeah, dude, that actually took... I know, I'm getting it. There it is.
Dale?
Yay.
Yeah, we're like, what happened?
It was a crash.
I know, it happened.
Did you get the Dale joke at least?
I did, yes. I was there for in the chat room for that.
What was that, last night?
Yeah, Dale North was on 8-Bit X and 8-Bit Extravaganza, which is a...
Internet radio show, video game music stuff.
Yeah, definite friend of any bands I've been in, actually. I love hanging out with Will. Every time we go to MAGFest, him and I wind up playing video games in his room along with the other guys for a few hours at least.
Yeah, and they were having some kind of difficulties because, like, ladies and gentlemen, Dale North, and all you heard was... Dale, are you there? I think we're having some difficulties. Let's do a song and we'll try again right after this. Then they came back and it's like, all right, let's try this again. Dale North? Dale, are you there? All right, let's play another song. We'll try this again. I think the fourth time they got it working. So,
yeah, they eventually got him talking.
Yeah, just that first time where he sounded like Satan.
I will eat your soul. In the name of Lucifer, I command you to spread the blood of the innocent.
Oh my God, Chicago kicks ass.
Wow. It's this damn phone of mine, man. I need a Nokia N-Gage.
You need N-Gage, man.
I need 70 of them and 100 batteries.
Yes.
And 40 sealed games.
Can we find... Dude, like, honestly, like, I kind of want to... I want to find an N-Gage.
Me too.
Fuck, man. You need to buy the fucking... the Tiger.
The Tiger R-Zone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If only that was a phone.
Oh God.
Dude, we need to make it into a phone.
The R phone, the Tiger R phone.
It already mounts to your head. Why not just like attach a headset
that was
to it or
the Tiger R zone is essentially what pioneered Google Glass. You know that, right?
If
it wasn't for them,
didn't the NES have some shitty headband thing?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the Enforcer. That was the Genesis light gun thing.
I forget what the fuck they called it, but it was awful.
Again, those days had so many shitty peripherals. I miss those days.
You can find them nowadays for the current systems. You just have to dig a little more.
But they're not as cool. It's they're just not like, as funny, get a foam bat for Wii Sports that you put your Wii remote in.
So you can actually hit your you know... Like, older or younger sibling.
Nobody wants that bullshit. I want to put an octagon on the floor and dance in it.
I was, you know, I guess I'm still waiting for it, but I've always wanted them to come out with a Wii controller, like, peripheral that you put your Wii controller in that just looks like a slightly larger Wii controller.
This is the Wii controller for fat hands.
The Wii controller XL.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they did. That's what those rubber controller condoms are for.
Kind of, yeah, but I want it to be, like, bigger buttons and everything, just like, I don't know. Just like this idea I had, that I really want them to
just make one.
It's just inside the realm of possibility.
Just make one. Lord. Just make one.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Get to it.
I believe.
So we were talking about video games that we're playing, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Go for it.
What are you playing?
And don't disconnect again.
The only other thing I have to add that besides playing through Game Boy stuff, until I actually. I bought a whole bunch of Game Boy games because at MAGFest I bought a Game Boy Advance SP via AGS 101, which is the backlit one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here lately, like, there was what looked like a cosmetic scratch in the side of the hinge and then turned into a full-blown crack. So now the hinge is kind of wobbly.
Oh, no.
So what I have done is I went to Amazon, ordered the tools, and I have an NES Game Boy Advance SP, and I'm once I get the tools in, I'm actually going to perform a full Game Boy Advance SP transplant.
Ooh.
I'm gonna put the backlit guts and screen into my NES looking shell.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, once I do that, I'll pretty much have the ultimate Game Boy, and I'll be playing all the Game Boy games.
That is pretty badass.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
I'm looking forward to that.
I miss my. Old NES-themed Game Boy Advance.
They were pretty cool. It's like the problem with mine is that I got tired of the front-lit look after the DS Lite came out.
Right?
Yeah, the front
kind of like kind of owned. And so it kind of went to the wayside. And then when I figured out that they had the AGS 101, I was like, well, I got to get one of those now.
Yeah.
Because then I can play my old Game Boy games with the bright screen stuff. I don't know. It's it's one of those things. It's just... You know, you got to have it all.
Yeah. I
and
still do have a
GBA
have SP,
it
though.
All.
Still have an SP. Torchic Orange.
I pointed the reason for this is because do you guys remember, like, on the Game Boy, the old Game Boy and the Game Boy Color, you could buy the worm light?
Yes.
Plugged into the port. So
I had it. I had the purple one.
So did I, actually, the purple one, yeah. And it's like you needed that to play your game, like just about anywhere. And so it's kind of like this is paying back your childhood
for
having to play video games like that.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's how I'm feeling about it anyway.
See, that's kind of why, like, I miss like how much I used to play my Game Boy. Like, that's why I'm kind of thinking about, like, I want to get like a decent amount on my of a Nintendo card and just buy like a lot of those like. Virtual console like Game Boy and Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance games on my 3DS and just play them like that.
Yeah, I have a hell of a lineup on my.
You should do
3DS.
That. If you didn't know, because I didn't know this until like somebody told me, but if you hold down, I think it's the R and L and press Y or something, you can switch the screens from black and white to old school green.
Yeah,
nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played through Super Mario Land that way, and it was very nostalgic.
That is cool as shit.
Yeah, the other, well, because my whole thing was, too, is it's just like, I was actually thinking, and I kind of don't want to go this route, but this goes back to, like, how I was talking about doing, like, ROMs and emulations and stuff like that. I was thinking about getting one of those, like, DS cartridges that are, like, preloaded with a bunch of, like, NES and SNES games.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really want to go that route.
I wouldn't do it on a 3DS.
I've had one of those, and the emulation is a little shaky on some of them, so wound up not really digging it so much.
Mm.
However, playing all the DS games for free was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an R4 when I had a regular DS, but with how Nintendo has become so anti-piracy with the 3DS, I won't risk popping anything like that in my 3DS.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want
3DS to me has become like this ultimate system, so I kind of don't want to cheat the game just because I'm enjoying what they have to offer like so much already.
Yeah, and I've pretty much stepped away from piracy near completely anymore. Like, when the 360 came out, you know, I had my 360 modded. I would burn all my games. And after a while, I'm just like, you know, I'm tired of getting my system banned and not playing online. So just, if you really want a game, support the fucking game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, I've always been that way in the music realm, mainly just because, like, it was one of those kind of things where it's like, well, I make music. I wish people would buy my music as opposed to stealing it all the time.
We won't talk about my Wii, though.
No.
We'll ignore that one.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, well, because that was really my concern about when I was in Ethereal. All of our albums were up on the Pirate Bay. And we're like this real, like, in my eyes, we were a very small band.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and everybody was still stealing our albums and shit like that. And I'm like, well, fuck, man. Like, if that's just how it is, like, I guess that's how it is. Like, there's no way to, like, kind of go around it. There's nothing I can do about it. So I was kind of like, well, fuck, if you can't beat them, join them. But then I was like, well, I don't want to download music. Like, that's just shitty. And then, like, so I never really did it. Like, I don't have anything like a BitTorrent-esque type of program on any of my computers. I don't have, like, I've never gone to the Pirate Bay ever. I know what it is. I've seen other people do it, but I've never personally actually done it. So,
you know, given that this is a publicly broadcast podcast and anyone can hear it, I have never pirated anything in my life.
I'm being serious, though. I mean, like, I don't, like, what the fuck are they going to do? Like, nobody listens to this. Who the fuck are we kidding? Like,
the NSA is listening to everything.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Hey,
someone might listen.
Who's knocking on the door?
Someone might listen. Maybe.
Zach will know all of our dirty deeds.
All I can say about it is that I do like the availability of such things for obtaining things that are otherwise unobtainable.
Yes.
That I agree with, because there has been some CDs that I've had to, like, I've asked other people to download them for me because I could not purchase them anywhere.
Yeah.
I also have to, you know, say that the fan translation community relies on such
fuck
a thing.
Yeah.
And I love those guys.
Like, we would never be able to play Fatal Frame 4 on the Wii.
Mother 3, hello.
Yeah. But Fatal Frame 4 on the Wii never came to America or Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a Fatal Frame 4 published by Nintendo.
Wow.
Yeah, and it never came here. So people fan translated it and patched it, and now you could play it in English.
Huh. Well, see, now the thing that I was even thinking of was, like, I really want to try the old Dokapon games.
Yeah.
Like, really, really bad. Like, the Super Nintendo ones. But those, I don't think they made American versions of.
No.
Actually, there is a game you should check out that's available as a fan translation. The English title of it, I can't remember the Japanese title, and I couldn't pronounce it anyway, but the English title is 100 World Story, Tales on a Watery Wilderness, or it's just 100 World Story. It's an NES Famicom game that's a board game RPG hybrid, only you have, like, more control over your characters and such, and it's stupid fun. And the translation, like, it's so goofy, like... Oh, man, the enemies, like, it just, the whole game is like a laugh riot to play with. And it's the same thing. You can have up to 4 players and 1 controller. And
that's cool.
I really love pass and play. I really, really do.
Me too. That's what I love about the Wii. That's, you know, it's really a lot of the games are that way on it.
Dokapon. I own Dokapon Kingdom for the Wii. And I don't even own a Wii or Wii U. And I'm not going to get rid of it because I know eventually I'm going to fucking get a Wii U so I can play, just at least play that game.
I want to make a quick note how one of our original plans for this episode was going to be to talk about all the recent doom and gloom regarding Nintendo and their slashed sales forecasts and reduced profits and losses and all this other shit. And instead, we have spent so much time talking about how we love old Nintendo games, current Nintendo games, how good the systems are.
I fucking love Nintendo. And I really do.
Instead of talking doom and gloom about Nintendo, we've just been celebrating them once again.
It's because they're awesome.
They are.
Well, I thought about this all day because you asked me about it and had me listen to
Yeah, I'm like, prepare for this topic that we're going to probably talk about. And then we proceeded to not talk about it.
Here's the thing about, like, and you want to talk about console gaming and PC gaming and stuff like that. It's like the way that console gaming is between 1982 and 1984. Like, you know what time that was for video games, right?
Oh, yeah, the crash.
The big crash. And they said that the video game industry was all but dead. And what people don't realize is that several games came out in that time period for the PC, but nobody cared. Like gaming, the whole gaming world is like kind of wrapped around what's happening on the consoles. That's just how we are.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like with Nintendo. It's like if Nintendo went away, like I feel like the whole concept of video games would just kind of go away. It would be PC games and, you know, PC games you can hook up to your TV.
Essentially.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's the thing about Nintendo. They've just been kind of, you know, with no other real competition that exclusively does video games, you know, with Sega gone and all that, it's like they really are just the vanguard of home video games. Yep. So,
that's why I want one of those, and, you know, I'm not really interested in a PlayStation and an Xbox.
I think the best way you could look at it is Xbox and PlayStation are computer entertainment. Nintendo are video games.
Yeah,
Sony is an electronics retailer. Not retailer, but an electronics manufacturer and distributor. Microsoft is a software, you know, company.
Computer programming company. So
Nintendo is video games. Yeah. That's the thing. So it's like, yeah, they'll have their times where they slow down, but they don't care. They're going to come back.
Yeah, they've been saying that they're going to die since the N64 days. So never count them out.
The only truly bad thing I feel that has ever happened to them was Gunpei Yokoi retiring after the Virtual Boy sold so poorly that he quit and then unfortunately accidentally died. And that, you know, that was the creator of everything from, like, the Game Boy.
Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus.
Damn.
And that's why those game franchises were kind of lost, is because their creator, like, went with them. So it's kind of like since then, it's just always been, you know, Nintendo has got its, you know, its franchises that it holds onto. But otherwise, I mean, they're going to do good either way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as long as there are video games, they're going to profit because somebody's going to buy their stuff.
Well, the thing is, and there's always been this time where, like, I'll own a system, and at some point, the thought will cross my mind, do I really need this? Like times will get tough financially, and I'll be like, should I get rid of it? Like, do I really need this? Do I really need to hold on to it? Not once. Have I ever felt like that about my 3DS, and I own two games for it. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I own two games. But I'll fucking never get rid of it, because I know full well that it's something that I enjoy. It's something that's going to, like, continuously give me stuff that I'm going to want to get, and that's going to produce really good games.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like even still, like, I haven't purchased a game since Pokemon. Since that time frame, there has been at least two or three games that I've wanted to get for the 3DS.
Yeah.
And how long has Pokemon been out? Couple months? Tops?
Yep.
Like,
oh man, and they're coming out with some stuff, boy.
Oh,
like
fuck
that new Kirby game.
Dude, the Kirby game looks awesome.
You know what was a lot of fun? Mario Party.
Dude, the new Mario Party, we've been playing. Like,
and we could talk about this because Tim isn't here.
Yes. but the new Mario Party game for the 3DS, like, before a bunch of the podcasts, like, me, Joe, Ashley, and Jordan would sit down and we would play it for, like, a couple hours, just killing some time.
And we had a fucking blast with it. I love that it's four players with one card.
One card.
I love it.
So cool.
It's the coolest fucking thing ever.
Here's the thing that Nintendo is, like, doing that I love, like, with some of the stuff on the 3DS. The 3D updates on the old Sega games, you know?
Oh my god, it's awesome. Sega games are insane.
Yeah, I downloaded all of them so far and realized, at least with Altered Beast, I don't know about the other games, it's two-player wireless with one download.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
River City Ransom for the NES is like that as well on the Game Boy.
I need that, man.
And it runs exactly as slow as it does on an actual NES. There's so much lag. Those games, man.
But that's how I felt about with Double Dragon when I was trying to do jump kicks.
Yeah.
Fucking buttons.
It's what I love about it is that it is that kind of like multiplayer sort of, you know, like the old Nintendo and you know, Super Nintendo and all that other stuff. It's like they're not ignoring the multiplayer aspect just because it's a handheld. Like, they're really dealing with it. And they did that on the DS as well, but with the 3DS, it really feels a lot more solid, I guess, because they're downloaded games.
Yeah.
And they're so much cheaper. And, you know, not everybody has to buy it.
That Sega 3D series is insane, though.
Oh, man, I've beaten Galaxy Force 2 already a couple of times, and it is... I love it so much.
And I'm amazed that a lot of them, they're not like Genesis ports. They're the arcade ports, which is even better.
Dude, but Sonic looks amazing.
And I love how, at least in the ones I've played, they have two options for the 3D. They have pop out 3D, where it's like the flat and then everything's coming at you, or sink in 3D.
Oh, sink in.
And you can change it, and it's so fucking cool.
Oh my god. I might have to see that like right after the podcast is over, because I haven't actually like visually seen it yet.
They did a lot of work with those Sega 3D releases.
Well, even
Nintendo
when I got
should
my,
take notes.
Yeah. Even when I got my what was it? When I got the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Yeah. When I got that, like, I mean, the 3D kind of messes with my eyes a lot. But I was playing the game, and then, like, any time that there was, like, a slight cutscene or anything like that, I'd fucking slide the 3D on, and I'm like, oh my god, this looks so fucking good!
Actually, I just bought a Star Fox 3D, so looking forward to that, too. They went clearance.
It went clearance.
The other thing is that the other way that they kind of messed with it is I noticed that I don't know if you've played the remake of Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
No.
For one, it looks gorgeous in 3D. Like, the colors are amazing, and also, like, all those parallax scrolling areas are fully 3D now, so it's like,
oh my god.
It looks like it was meant to, I guess.
And they added the spin dash.
They added the spin dash
to the first one? Ooh. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, at first I was crying heretic a little bit, and then I started playing, and I was like, oh, this is actually way better.
They should have,
like, actually gone back and made cartridges of Sonic 1 with Sonic 2's controls.
Yeah, that'd have been interesting. That'd have been really interesting.
So, man, I'm so psyched about that.
Is it bad that, like, part of me kind of wants to, like, just... see if I could I might trade in my Pokemon and just get a Nintendo card just to download a bunch of that shit.
I don't know how much you would get for Pokemon, though.
I don't know.
I mean, you can give them your credit card number and then actually pay the amount that the game cost. You don't have to buy download cards.
Yes, but I'm also fun employed. So I don't have money.
Yeah.
I don't have money for anything.
Plus, the thing is, they save the information, so it's kind of like... every time something comes out, it's like, oh, I can purchase this, and I don't even have to, like, whip out my card. It's just already
there.
Yeah, that's why I don't store my credit card information on consoles.
Yeah,
it's like, I have how much in my bank account?
You start doing mental math, you're like, can I do...
is this game worth $6 or $6 plus $34?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I can recommend any game that's, like, super cheap... on the 3DS, it's like an original 3DS game, I would say Witch and Hero.
Yeah, I still have to play that, because you recommended it to me, and it was on sale, and I grabbed it.
It's $3 or $4, depending on if it's on sale or not, and I have played it for hours and hours.
I gotta try that still.
I'm still playing this endless mode that they have that's just incredible.
Is it bad that, like, what I've been playing has actually been a mobile game a lot?
Which one is that?
Puzzles and Dragons.
That sounds cool, actually.
It's actually huge in Japan. Like, it's actually like one of the most downloaded games in Japan, like, period.
With a title like Puzzles and Dragons, who could be surprised?
Well, here's the premise. The premise is, take a game like Bejeweled or, you know, like a
Puzzle Quest.
Like Puzzle Quest-ish kind of thing. Mix it with Pokemon.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said.
Puzzle plus RPG collectibles.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
When is it coming out on 3DS?
What's that?
That'd be cool if it did.
When is it coming out on 3DS?
Dude, if it did, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. Like, I'd be fucking all over that shit.
Of the Dragon Story 2. Dragon Story Book 2 is what it's called, right? Or Dragon Fantasy, right?
Yeah, Dragon Fantasy.
Yeah, Dragon Fantasy Book 2. I literally was like, dude, when's it coming out on the 3DS? He was like, September. I was like, I'll buy it.
Damn.
Did he say Book 2 is coming out in September or Book 1?
It may be Book 1, but I haven't played either one, so...
Yeah.
If it comes out in September, though, on the 3DS, I will buy it.
Yeah, they're fun games. They're definitely fun games.
Son of a bitch.
And we might have him next week.
Next week or the week after, really cool. Or something like that?
Next week.
Next week?
The week after will be our 1 year, which we're going to try doing with Bogue.
And
Bogé.
Nice.
Anyone else?
I don't know. And then fingers crossed, if everything works out on February 12th, we'll interview Dale North.
DN. I'm
trying to get him for almost a year now. And we're finally, hopefully, going to make it happen. So,
word.
He seems like a cool guy.
Now we still need to get A-Rival and Vert on the show.
Oh, yeah. I love how you're talking about what guests you want on your show with the guests that is on your show right now.
Yeah, well, fuck you, Chris.
Hey, it's not like we probably won't have you on the show again at some other point.
Yeah, you're here now. And we're already, like, way longer than we normally would go.
Right.
And
I mean, just
literally,
fucking be happy with what you have, dick.
Dude, I am. I literally have nothing to plug. That's the thing. I'm not even here, like, selling anything. My band has a Facebook page.
That's the thing.
Well, what's your band's Facebook page?
Oh, is it plugs time now? It's facebook.com/gimmickband. Also, twitter.com/gimmickband.
I forgot Twitter exists.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna edit all that out.
I've got a total of 6 tweets from the band page, but sweet. I'm working on it. We don't even have a picture yet. It's still the egg. And actually, nice. Facebook's just as bad. It's like the only picture of the band, our profile picture, is not a screenshot, but I took a picture of my game of the original Final Fantasy where I renamed all the characters to where their names together spells gimmick VDM rock. So
nice.
Being
and then
resourceful.
I tagged all the characters as the members of the band.
Oh god.
Like, this is Chris, our band photo.
Chris. I have a
band photo for Croth.
Yeah,
it's literally just me.
Oh yeah. I went and liked the page and I was like, what is this? Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Something about Blade Mode.
What's that guy?
That weird guy.
But I mean, you know, we are working on stuff for this year. We're gonna have we're planning an album.
When we premiered your track last year?
That was a demo and it never came out. The song I gave you is actually mostly the other part of the demo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we played the song. It's like, yeah, this should be coming out. They should have an EP in the next couple of weeks or so. A year later, oh, we're working on an album.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, that's the way it goes, man. I understand.
But they have some concerts up on YouTube that are really cool to check out.
Yeah, our secret jam space show is a pretty good one. There's a lot of video of that one. You can see our gigantic bubble bobble dance party.
Oh god,
I like where this is going already.
I'm bummed I missed you guys at MAG.
Yeah, one of our things.
God damn it!
Come on. One of his things is that Hold on.
I'm not cutting any of these out either.
Hold on. One of his things is that...
One of the things is that hang up.
Ah, damn it. I thought you were going to continue it.
No.
He was just talking after it hung up. He finished the story already.
Aw.
Okay, one of the things is...
Yeah, the stupid phone. Or internet or something that has happened. Technology.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem.
Fuck yeah.
So, are you... You're giving us songs to play, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I did.
What? Yep, we have two songs from Gimmick.
Yeah,
which
one of them
are...
Which are... one of them is the first stage from the NES game Metal Storm, which is Metal Storm is one of my favorite games, and you know, not a lot of people know it, but despite the fact that it's called Metal Storm, the song is actually really peppy.
You can have peppy metal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not metal at all, though. I'm sure there's some metal that you can add to it, or the rest of the songs from that game. But anyway, it's a great game. One of those super rare ones as well. They had a box copy for $100 at MagFest that I missed out on purchasing.
Damn. Jeez.
Yeah. But anyway, the other one is a super lo-fi scratch demo that we did of our Super Mario Land medley that we recorded for some purpose or another. And, you know, we never wound up making a more full-fledged recording of it. We decided to just save that for the album. So what you're essentially going to be hearing is a demo of just us in our practice room playing every single song in the game Super Mario Land in one big medley.
That should be fun.
So this is an unheard demo that won't be available. That sounds exclusive.
That sounds exclusive.
Sounds pretty goddamn exclusive.
Yeah, I'm probably not giving that to anybody else. So this is the someone might listen exclusive.
Yo,
garage
Yo Loft.
Demo. Yo Loft. Yo Yo. Yo Bo. I don't know.
And then third track you mentioned we would play something off the Descendants of Erdrick, the I guess farewell album from the original lineup called Thanks a Million.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Thanks a Million. The reason it's called that is because for one, it was an entirely, I guess I should just tell the whole story of that
Go
album.
Go ahead. Ready.
So we broke up in the nicest way possible, the original lineup, which was Amanda Lepre, myself, Mike Lobos, Via Lobos, who is now the bass player of Gimmick.
Via text message, right?
No.
That's the nicest way possible.
That is true. John Pike and Lauren Leibowitz, who are both in the Returners, which is an Austin video game band that kicks ass, along with Lobos, actually. He's playing guitar for that.
That cheating whore.
Yeah, we decided to part ways. And we had this backlog of so many medleys that we had come up with and were playing. And our first album, Downright Heavy, you know, only featured a small handful of what people could actually hear us play live. So we actually agreed that we would do a Kickstarter to make a second album of pretty much everything else that we had. And if they, you know, basically if they pay for it, we would record it and then distribute it for free or as near as we could get. And then, you know, print exclusive like copies to people who actually funded the album. And they would have the only print copies in existence other than a few exceptions. And
yeah, I was an asshole and missed the Kickstarter because I didn't know it existed. But thankfully, Chris got my back and hooked me up with a copy at MagFest.
I hooked them up with one of my personal copies,
which Charles Margolis then stepped on like a dick.
Well, you've got the exclusive stepped on non-autographed.
Yes. Non-autographed stepped on edition. One of one.
That's the best edition.
You can frame it in like a broken glass frame. And... Anyway, so the Thanks a Million album is titled that because it was literally the album was our way of saying thanks to the fans who had supported us through the time that we were together and literally paid for the album. In fact, the liner notes are all just personal thank yous to people who donated. And it's also the ending to Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Is they say thanks a million, push start to replay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird way of signing off a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Thanks a million.
Thanks hey, a million. Buddy. Press start to play it again.
Thanks, buddy.
Dude, good it job. Was great to play it again, though. I love playing that game. Anyway, so I think the track that I told Joe to play is the Castlevania one.
If that's the one you want, we'll do that one.
I don't give a fuck. Well, I like that one because it's the part two to our Castlevania medley from the first album, which is we called What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse.
Nice.
And the album is actually full of songs that we never played. So it's an album exclusive. And I believe I arranged the whole thing myself, but it could have been myself and Lobos. I actually can't remember now. But
sounds like a humble brag to me.
It's the one I just actually like listening to the most because I only heard it through the album myself because we never played it together. Like we never rehearsed it or anything. So it was all just us in the studio doing our individual parts. And then it came together into what I feel is one of the best sound songs on the album. So
it's the one I listen to the most because I arranged it.
Well, yeah. It kind of arranges itself. I mean, 90% of the songs from the original three NES Castlevanias are in D minor, so it's like they're all in the same key.
Yeah, they're all in the same key, so you could just keep doing them all.
They fit like puzzle pieces, so it was super easy to do. And, it starts on Monster Dance, which is the nighttime music from Castlevania 2, whereas our first medley ended on Bloody Tears, which is the daytime music from Castlevania 2, so it's even linked to the original medley.
Nice.
There you go.
So, I mean, I feel like that's like almost mini-bosses level cleverness. Almost.
Almost.
Those guys, they know how to arrange, like... That's the thing I'm trying to bring into gimmick as best I can is like, you know, really strong arrangements of music since we're more or less playing them straight.
Yeah.
So there's no like real genre stuff involved.
Well, if there was one thing I don't want you to take from the mini bosses is catalog size.
That is something they're kind of legendary for is having like more or less the same songs as when they started.
Yeah.
Other than a few, I mean, their Kid Icarus is just bar none. That's the thing is that when they do go into like a almost full game OST arrangement, like they kill it.
Yeah, they do.
They're Super Mario, they're Mario Brothers 2 and their Kid Icarus both stand out to me as just being like, I couldn't even touch those games with my band because it's just like they nailed it so completely.
I still love when they busted out the Mario 2 medley at Magfest the first time they played it. And not only were people like, oh my god, they're destroying this song. Everyone was pretty much, oh my god, it's a new song.
Oh man, I saw the mini bosses for the first time. Actually, the only time I've ever seen them is at Magfest. I saw them at 9 and 10. And the first time was at 9, and I had no idea about the Excitebike stuff. And so when they busted out like 9 different versions of Excitebike, I was so happy.
Like I missed that. I didn't know that they did Excitebike. So there we go. There's another new song.
Well, they play the Excitebike title screen, which, as you know, is about 10-15 seconds long, depending on speed.
Something like that, yeah.
And all throughout their album Brass 2 and also all throughout their live show, they kept busting it out. They would just play it and play it slow, play it fast.
Oh God. That's like the Quantum Leap jingle from Lonely Rolling Stars,
yeah.
Yes. I guess you guys saw that they on their Bandcamp.
Oh yeah,
they have it all on this track. All the Quantum Leap you can handle.
Oh god,
Lonely Rolling Stars. That album has propelled itself like up to like my top 3 video game albums ever.
That's an insane album.
It is so good. And actually, I feel like that's unfair to everyone else in the video game scene because Stemmage's Marble Madness album is already also in the top three.
Yeah, I think what's kind of like blowing my mind is the fact that like pretty much that entire band did stuff for my CD, and it was my first attempt at even doing anything video game related.
Well, you didn't get Chuck or Chris.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you know, those guys are like really, I don't know, they seem really cool to me. I know Stemmage is definitely, he's always been like a big supporter of anything anybody does in video game music, you know?
Yeah, and Grant's a really good guy.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to get the whole band on soon.
Yeah.
We were talking about it at MAGFest. I mean, those guys were awesome to have on the first time. And after finally meeting Chuck at MAGFest, I could see how batshit insane he is. So I'm dying to get him on the show.
And then just have it just one giant clusterfuck.
And then get Chris on, get the full Lonely Rolling Stars band, get them on the podcast.
Dude, do it. The funny thing about, I didn't know Chuck. Like, he's the only one of the Lonely Rolling Stars I didn't know about or kind of know before seeing that show. And I knew he was nuts and that I really wanted to talk to him only based on his drum solo in the Turrican. I was just like, this drum solo is so messed up. I have to meet this guy.
The best thing is, if you find any pictures of him at MAGFest, every single one that I've seen of him, he looks either evil or clinically insane.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's fantastic. Like, I just want to party with him.
And by party, he means party.
I want to party. Party in my pants.
Giggity.
Oh.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, man. Like, we've been at it for a while.
Yeah, we actually have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've probably gone way over my time. I tend to do that.
No, we do it.
Oh, my God, a two-hour show?
We encourage
Holy
it.
Shit.
That's only half the length of the other.
That is.
Wow, another marathon.
I listened to all 4 hours of that, so this is your payback.
You did? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, Randall did, great. Too. Randall listens to us a lot, which is really cool. We
you guys
get him
are ridiculous.
On.
You guys are absolutely ridiculous.
But we love it. We love you guys. We love the support. Coming up on a year in 2 weeks, and
dude, it's blowing my mind.
It's been a blast. I'm having more fun now than months ago. It's just getting more and more fun the more we do it, the more people we talk to. We should probably start pimping our email address again because it's hard
to...
Yeah, because
nobody sends us emails because they don't even know that it exists.
When we don't talk about it. But you can send us your hateful emails, your thank you notes, whatever, to thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Please write us. We love you long time if you do.
Giggity.
Thanks again to Chris for joining us. As a refresher, we're doing Metal Storm. We are doing the rough demo of the Mario Land medley, and we are doing the Castlevania medley from the Descendants of Erdrick CD, correct?
Huzzah.
Sounds about right.
And how can people get the Descendants of Erdrick album? Is that on Bandcamp or anything?
Yeah, last I saw, it was on Bandcamp. I think it's just descendantsoferdrick.bandcamp.com. And it should be free. Don't pay for it.
It might be streaming.
Well, they only give you so many limited free downloads. Like,
yeah,
for
I found
a certain
that out.
Amount of time.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that it's stream only at the moment, but you know, just bear with it, and we'll probably have it up again for free. But yeah, the reason why is just because we didn't want to deal with distributing money to people who moved on.
Yeah. And if it's
and
not
like
free,
said,
just hit up Chris and
fan,
he'll hook you up.
There you go.
Email Chris directly. He will personally burn the songs to a CD and mail it to you.
Or just check the Pirate Bay. I'm sure it's there.
Fucking Pirate
that is
Bay.
The piratebay.org. I think. I don't go there. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
You fucking pirate.
To a Tiger R-Zone.
Yes.
Coming
Nokia
soon to the Tiger R-Zone and the Nokia N-Gage.
One final thing before we end this. I want your thoughts on this since we talked about Dead Rising 3. That ultimate Grim Reaper weapon, how fucking awesome
was
that?
It's fucking broken. It's absolutely broken. Within 10 minutes, I watched you gain 4 fucking levels.
Yeah.
And you're already, like, you're over level 40 now.
Yep.
It's bullshit.
Chris, look up a video of that online. The ultimate Grim Reaper in Dead Rising 3.
It's broken.
But do you have any final words for our listeners before we hit stop and then do anything else, because our asses are sore from these chairs?
Yeah.
Just check out Gimmick. Look us up wherever, and if you like that sort of thing. And thank you very much for having me on the show.
Man, and, no insult?
Thank you for deciding I named your show correctly.
Yeah. No, nothing else? Nothing, nope. Nothing silly, nothing stupid?
That's stupid enough.
We'll be right back. 54.